so much pressure.
So much pressure. That's why his mood is so bad.
I'm just like, now I feel like I have to
be somebody.
Yeah, dance monkey dance. Yeah.
Marco, guys, welcome to Full Out with my husband.
Before we start, it's important for me to say that on the last episode of the podcast, it seemed like you got really upset that I misrepresented you as somebody who was dirty, who wasn't clean. So I want to come clean now to say that Brittany's actually very clean, just not to my level of cleanliness.
Which is an insane level of cleanliness. I do feel like you walked, like the way you presented me is as if I'm like a dirty person and I'm so clean. And so I was
not
like,
to me, sorry.
Marco, that's not okay. True. That's Marco not comes true. From a home where his, like, growing up, your underwear were ironed, your t-shirts were ironed, your grandmother had every item of clothing had a specific hanger and it was labeled with what went on that hanger. I feel like our house is so clean that it makes people nervous when they come over. And especially since we have two kids, people, I feel
it's funny because I think it makes your family nervous. But then when my family comes in town, my parents,
it makes them nervous in the opposite way. Cause
they don't think it's clean enough.
Yeah. They are like, why don't you have the housekeeper coming more often? Like your mom will see like every speck of everything everywhere, like on the windows, like the windows aren't clean enough.
I see them and I just have to live with it.
Yeah. But I feel like you have like an insanely high standard. So saying that I am not clean, you also told our couples therapist that our like house was basically falling apart and that from the time we moved in, we haven't done anything to our bedroom. And you made it sound like we live, like that we've done other things, but nothing to our room. And I was like, you're pitching this as if we like have boxes as nightstands and like our house is like the roof is caving in. We constantly have workers at the house because Marco's like, do you see this right here? And we have to constantly tell them, could you please stop jackhammering right now because we're trying to record the podcast. Like everybody's laughing because they're like, it's true. The guy who's our handyman who's doing work on the house, who's amazing, he handed Marco a roll of blue tape the other day. He handed you this roll of blue tape and he's like, okay, here, you can use this tape to put it on like any nick or thing that you feel like needs to be fixed. And I was like, no, please, no. I was like, our whole house is going to be wrapped in blue tape, blue painter's tape. And you really don't want anybody to like, you're like barely okay with the fact that we're doing the podcast like in this room at the house, but you don't want, like you want to keep our house and life and our kids like more private. But if you keep pitching me as a dirty person with a house that's falling down, I am going to have to do a house tour. And
oh my gosh.
So I will have to show the receipts. Okay. So I just
I don't want that. Oh, I just was going to say about the cleanliness, you know, but we're good. We can move on.
I feel like all the episodes are just that you come on are just going to be us talking about cleaning stuff. I do think it also.
Oh my gosh! Can you? That would be a dream. Oh, that would be a dream if like if we just got all these like cleaning Clorox wipes just like sponsored this.
Well, I feel like or Dyson like the magic would be eraser. Your favorite thing.
Oh, Dyson! Oh my gosh!
I got Marco a Dyson for Christmas one year, and it was like the best gift I'd ever gotten.
Yeah,
you.
It was the best Christmas present.
He loves to vacuum. This guy is obsessed with vacuuming or leaf blowing. It's like we can never have quiet around here. I feel like, but no, I appreciate it. It's great.
I mean, you benefit from that.
I do. Yeah. I feel like we can move on from that, but I do feel like it affects like, I feel like the kids stuff and the cleaning stuff. Like, I feel like I'm more like I get overwhelmed if our kids' rooms are a mess or something like that, and you don't.
If our kids, no, because yeah, they're, yeah. I'm less upset about that.
Like order.
If it's like a nightmare in there, then I kind of want to, but I also feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's their room and.
Yeah.
And they should have a little bit of, you know, disorder if they want. I don't want it to be like after a play date and it's like everything's on the floor. That stresses me out. But yeah. it's more stresses me out if there's stuff around the house.
Yeah. I don't know if it really stresses you out.
It does. Like if there's kid stuff all around. The,
yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. I feel okay. Anyways, this is so boring. I feel like I did want to talk about parenting because I have become like the unpopular parent in the house, and like you're the preferred parent, and I'm the unpreferred parent. And it happened with Penelope when she was about our son's age, and it's starting to happen with our son. And why are you doing that to me? Why are you taking our children away from me?
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think it's happening?
I was trying to think about this because it feels with Penelope, it felt like such a knife through the heart when she all of a sudden like wanted you over me, because I was like, kids are supposed to want their moms more. And I think I had to do a lot of work on myself to be like, why is it bothering me so much? But I do think that the first year of a kid's life, they really need their mom. And then all of a sudden you step in like a way where you're more present. Not that you're not present, but you're more like they don't need me in the same way that they did the first year. So it's a little bit like another person can also do a job that I had been doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like I'm being demoted a little bit once they turn one. And I feel like it, I mean, Penelope was like really intense about it. She'd just be like, go away. You know, it's like, right. Oh my gosh. And it would make you so mad. And I feel like she saw that it was getting a reaction out of both of us. So like a little bit became a power struggle between our family of like, she knew that if she rejected me, I would be like heartbroken and you would be upset at her mm-hmm. for disrespecting her parents, and she would be in control of the entire house.
Yeah.
But I do see myself like when it's happening with Benjamin where he like thinks you're so fun and all this stuff, I'm like, oh my God, it's happening again.
I wish you thought I was more fun like they do.
You are fun. You're like silly fun. You're like great for like. There's
for
no.
Kids, but not you're for great grown-ups. For kids. I'm really great. I'm a great kid hangout, but grown-ups. Meh.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But like, it's almost like you're so good at physical comedy and like being silly and funny like that. There's no way I can compete. In that arena.
And that makes you so mad.
Yeah. It's really hard for me because I'm like, I can't like one up your like bits.
I also think I'm way more, we're both affectionate with them, but I'm affectionate in like a much more physical way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they respond to that.
Yeah. Except I think Penelope's becoming more like me a little bit.
Yeah.
In a way where like Benjamin's like always been like super cuddly and Penelope's like, don't touch me, you know, kind of a thing, which is kind of like me. Marco sometimes wants to just give me a hug in the middle of the day. And I'm like, why? I'm like, stop hugging me right now.
Didn't we talk about hugging last
week? I don't
know.
It's a big problem for us. But I do think that like the kid thing is hard because then they just want you and then it becomes overwhelming for you.
Yeah. If it's like over and over and over, it's hard for me that they want me over you because it's overwhelming for me. And it also, I can tell what it does to you and I don't like that.
What do you see that it does to me?
Well, that it upsets you, that it makes you like it kind of, there's part of you that takes it a little bit personally.
Yeah, I try really hard to be like neutral about it and stuff. And I feel like now that we have two, when Benjamin's doing it, I'm like, okay, I can pour all of my energy into Penelope right now. But when Penelope was alone and it was like, she's rejecting me, I'd kind of just be like, what am I supposed to do with myself right now? Because I have to be a part of my family. I can't just leave. Right. But she doesn't want like we would sit down at a restaurant and she would just like start look at me and start screaming if what? I was yeah, Beachwood Cafe, remember? We like sat down across I sat down across from her and she was like, no. Or like on the plane to Switzerland. Because she just like didn't want me to be there. Oh. On the plane to Switzerland, she just like if I looked at her, she like lost her mind and it was like a 12-hour flight and I couldn't even like it, she was mm-hmm. But I think girls and their moms are happens. Like intense.
Yeah.
And she's so strong-willed and stuff. But I think it, you know, she would be like, go away. Or like, I only want my dad. Or she would like cry in her bed and wouldn't let me get her out until you got home. And it would be like 45 minutes mm-hmm. of her just being like, dad, I want my dad. And now Benjamin is calling you mama and me dada.
He's calling you dada?
Sometimes now, and it's I'm like oh my what, god.
I think you're reading too much into that.
I don't know, but like I do think that I
thank you 1230.
Thank you 1230. You are a really good dad though.
I mean, I don't know what that means, but yeah, I'm around.
I think sometimes I probably get mad because you are a good dad and like that's why they want you.
And that's your stuff.
And that's my stuff. Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, could you just be a deadbeat so they only have me as an option right now because I have to like compete with you?
Maybe you're mad because you didn't get what they're getting.
Yeah, maybe. But that's for another episode. I remember when Penelope first started like crying about wanting her dad. I was like, who would want their dad? Like, why do you want your dad? Like, every kid should want their mom. Like, I just didn't even have like a relationship to that. So, in the same way. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm nervous my dad is going to listen to this because it's short and he might make it to this. The only way my dad will listen to this is because Marco's in this episode. If it was just me, he wouldn't listen to it.
Has he listened to the other ones?
No, he doesn't know. I don't think so. But people at my dad's like work start telling him about things and stuff. But so stressful. The amount of work you have to do to like
get people not to watch stuff when you are like trying to get the world to watch it, except your family.
Yeah. It's like so much work to make sure to be like, who can I not get to listen to this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I do hug them and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do think they want you to carry them. I think I'm like a smaller person. So
they might be more comfortable.
It's not as more like comfortable for me to carry them. I do think, yes. But I feel like Penelope's coming around to me. I feel like she's understanding my like mean, dark girl, like dark humor. Mm-hmm. I think she's starting to like, she's growing out of the like, it has to just be silly.
Yeah. I think she's, I also think that she can see how she can relate to you too. More than when she was younger.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
But I don't know why. I don't really know why. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel like sometimes I'm more, especially more recently, I'm like just a little bit more available. I think that you've been like very concerned with stuff and maybe that happens when you're concerned with stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. And vice versa. I feel like we go through phases of like one of us is a little preoccupied in our head and then the other one is preoccupied and then they maybe grab onto the one that's not. I think what happened for me when she was one is like, she was born in the pandemic and then like when she was 5 weeks before it happened and then when she turned one, it was a bit like the world opened up again and I had just been like in this bubble of almost like a year long maternity leave when I thought I was only going to take like one day off to have a baby and then go mm-hmm. back to work. And I really liked it. Like I got super into it, but then I also felt like when she was one, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a person. Like I forgot I'm a person. Like I have a life as well as this. Right. So I think that maybe happens to me a little bit, where I like find myself a little bit more, and maybe that's, I don't know.
And they're just feeling like you're going away?
Or they're like, because I feel like you fill in the gaps where you couldn't have filled in the gaps before that point. And like, so there's a, and maybe I'm just feeling it. Maybe I'm feeling like I'm not as connected to them in the way that I was mm-hmm. before. So I'm like, oh, they just like you more, when it's not even really that almost. I don't know. What am I talking about? Let's read some Fallout stories. This is so
well,
boring.
Just to finish, I don't think it's about liking or not liking. I think they're going to the person that they feel will help with what they need at that moment. I think boundarying that Brittany, and I think that might make them come to me, but also gets me in trouble.
Yeah. Backfires on you sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll let you know what happens as it goes if you're still here. Okay. I mean, but Penelope did say crazy things to me. She's like, she would be like, go away. Like one time Marco made her apologize to me when she was like two, and she came up and gave me a hug. And then he turned to like lower the curtains to her room, and she was giving me a hug, and she leaned into my ear and goes, go away. And I was like, oh my God. And I just like, you know, I had a lot of like dark nights of the soul with it with Penelope. So I see it coming up this time with Benjamin, and I'm a little bit like, okay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. They're going to come back around. They will like you at some point. They will, like, it's okay. Like, I did give my entire life and body and all of myself to making these people, and they don't like me anymore. And that's okay. And I'm, you know, I just have to like, I'm like, that's what happens. Every kid ends up not liking their parents. So like maybe mine's just happening like a little bit earlier. And I will say, like, I'm a really good mom. So I do feel like I'm a really good mom. Mm-hmm. You're saying that with, you're going to have to come on and like repitch that again next time.
No, I'm saying it's true. It's a genuine truth. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they, like their reasoning for it is like definitely bringing up something in me that's like hard for me, and I've had to like work on it. The fact that I guess I just like want people to like me, and when my kids don't like me, I want people to like me the most. I think that's my issue.
That's the problem.
That's my issue. I want to be liked more than anybody else. Uh-huh. And I want to be first. I want to win.
That's impossible. And
not for you, it doesn't seem like, because you're winning all the time around you.
It's funny because I think both of us in our own separate ways like stoop down to her level. I get into these like minute fights and arguments about the tiniest, stupidest things. And then you end up, you know, mm-hmm. getting into it with her as if like you guys are a couple of mean girls.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But I do feel like, Penelope especially, because she's our first kid, has made both of us have to work on ourselves in ways like we never thought. Like when before I had her, I felt like I was very mentally stable, in a good place. I'd worked on all my stuff. And I was like, I remember I used to think like, what will my kid ever talk about in therapy? Because I'm so solid.
Whoa.
And then, yeah, I know. And then we had a pandemic 5 weeks after she was born. And I like basically had a nervous breakdown. Remember, I had like a moment where I was like having an existential panic attack because I just had a baby and the whole world shut down. And I was like, if I go to the store to buy popcorn, am I going to kill my baby? And people were like, maybe. We don't really know. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And then I feel like I was so, I don't know, I just really freaked out. And then I feel like she rejected me, and that brought up a lot of other stuff. And then I was like, all this, you know, every time she gets a little older, it brings up a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I over-identify with her in a way where I'm like, she's reliving my life in a way or something. So, and I don't do that as much with Benjamin, but
not yet. We'll
not
see.
Yet. Not yet. Okay, let's read some stories. Okay. This is from Nathan. Hey, I went full out on the Apple Store this week. I bought a lemon of a computer after 3 times at the Genius Bar. Something new needed to happen. I packaged the computer up as if it was brand new, walked into the Apple Store for the 4th time and said I needed the highest ranking person in the building.
In the building?
In the building. What if they got store? Somebody from the mall that yeah. was like, this person owns the mall. In the building. That's great. This is so funny. I said, this is what's going to happen. This feels like
something you would say.
I know. This feels very like, did I write this? But I feel like, I also feel like that sounds very threatening of like, are you about to rob us or something?
This is what's going
to
happen. Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. You're going to take this computer and bring me the You're going to take this computer and bring me the exact same one, but new. I felt like I was pulling off some kind of heist. See? They seemed pretty scared, but it worked.
It worked.
Hot tip. I walked out with a brand new computer and a warrant out for my arrest. Not just to say the last
word. Oh my gosh.
That is amazing. I do feel like sometimes, I always tell Marco, sometimes you just gotta up the drama to get people to do anything for you.
I guess start your sentence by this is what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I know.
That's great.
I feel like sometimes you'll send me over because that's very not in your DNA to do that kind of a thing.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, but especially calls with like, you know, airlines and things like that.
Yeah, but to like get a refund or something, yeah, I just like whatever.
I hate it.
Yeah, I can get anything refunded. That's like one of my power skills. It really is. I know.
Do you remember that one time, like very early? I don't know if this had anything to do with anything, but when we were like kind of beginning to date or something, we went to Tender Greens. Do you remember this thing where like? I was first in line and I asked if I could try something and they said no. And they even said, oh, don't reach over the glass. And then you were right next to me. And then you asked if you could try something and they said, yeah. And you could probably have put your hand right into the thing and they would have been totally fine with it.
Yeah, it's the way you have to ask.
Did you say this is what's going to happen?
Yeah, I said this is what's going to happen.
I'm going to try this thing.
Reach my hand over the glass and taste those mashed potatoes. Yeah,
and if not, I want to talk to the most important person in the building.
The highest ranking person at Tender Greens. No, my friend had a shirt. My friend Serena had a shirt that she couldn't return once. They told her at Bloomingdale's she couldn't return it because she didn't have the receipt. And I was like, I'll return it. So we went together and I was like, I don't have the receipt. And they're like, can you text the person who got it for you or can you get it from them, like it from their email? And I was like, it's my dad's girlfriend and I do not want her to have my phone number. So I definitely don't want to get in a text conversation with her. She's like a little crazy. Could you just return it? And they were like, oh my God, yeah, we get it. And they returned it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay, Jackie. Hey, here's a full-out scary story. I was flying from LAX to JFK, spent a week in New York, and then flew back from JFK to LAX. Flying back home, I was stopped at JFK for carrying a 4-inch switchblade. It was in the bottom of my backpack and had been there the whole time. It was my switchblade, but I normally would have taken it out before the flight. Anyway, the fact that it was with me in New York means that on the way to New York, LAX let me onto the flight with a 4-inch switchblade, never trusting LAX security again. Also, why would you need a switchblade?
What's a switchblade?
Like a knife?
No, I know, but what kind?
I think it's one that just like pops out, like one of yours, like a pocket knife.
Is it? I mean, it's like you press a button and like it comes out? Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Remember when we were in Peru? And we went to...
In what?
I'm trying to set you up so you can talk too.
Am I being quiet?
I'm trying to give you a lead.
I remember when we were in Peru.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were in Juliaca? This little airport in Juliaca?
Yes. And Marco, then we went to Puno?
So we walked into through the security, and there was a bin in this town in Julia. It was this town that they were like, don't trust any taxi cab driver. Don't trust anybody. Just like get in the car that we send you and come. But when we went through security, when we were leaving, there was a whole, you know how we have those bins to throw away water bottles and stuff? A whole clear box. We have a picture of it. That people had forgotten that they had knives and guns. It was like a box full of knives and guns.
Yeah,
that people,
if you have your guns with you, just place them in the box.
Yeah, it's like they forgot that they had their guns with them and just like had to put them. It was a full box of knives and guns. We were like, what?
You got really, and then because they told us that people would just like drive by like on motorcycles and like cut people's throats or like something.
To like steal their stuff. Yeah,
cut their arms to steal their watches or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I had like a full blown freak out. And,
then
like
we went to
panicking.
Get a massage.
Yeah, we got the craziest massage for our life. Worth it. We asked the hotel if we could get a massage because we just hiked Machu Picchu.
And then, you're setting me up?
Yeah.
And then they had a card and they called it and made the appointment for us. And then we walked and it was in the back of a hair salon.
They were all watching Spanish soaps.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you guys are here.
For a massage, yeah. And then they got us in the room, and the room was filled with these, like, machines from, like, the 60s or something, where it felt like we were all about to get...
It looked like machines from Stranger Things or something. Yeah. We were like, what? And they had, like, wedged two massage beds in between all these machines. And Marco and I were looking at each other like...
With all these, like, little gauges and buttons and cables. And it felt like we were going to get, like...
Experimented on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we, like, did this massage. And they basically just rubbed lotion on us for an hour. They didn't even massage us. And we were like, okay, thanks.
That's
so
cool, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but we survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This was fun. Thanks for doing this, even though you're in a bad mood.
Thank you.
All right, bye.